Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. And now up on TSN 2, Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. 2 hours ago, we started the show with a song similar to the one you're hearing right now. It was not the Sea Shanty presented by Al's brother. It is Al's brother's birthday, by the way.
Yeah.
Today. So shout out to Al's brother.
Got to give him a shout out. Yeah. How old do you guys think he is?
26.
Nope. I know the answer.
I think he's 28.
Yeah.
28. Al's brother. The charcuterie board on a Friday night birthday must be outrageous tonight.
Got to be a must. Yep. Happy birthday, AB.
Yes, happy birthday to Al's brother. So we didn't play the shanty. And we asked people, we said, we'll put up a two-hour poll. You tell us, do you want to hear the shanty at any point in the final hour leading into Game 7 tomorrow night? 64% of the votes came in, yes, they want to hear the shanty. So
we end the show with it.
We end the show with the shanty. Yeah, we go to black with the sea shanty, all right? This is a democracy on the show. We ask the people vote. And the people have told us that it is time to finish the show with the shanty. Yeah.
What does democracy mean?
Democracy is, it's the free
republic. You love throwing it out there. This is a democracy. What is it? What do you mean?
That means you vote.
Yeah, you have a right to vote. Everyone has the right to vote. Everyone has certain rights. You know,
it's not communist.
Yeah, your government doesn't rule you. You know,
right.
You're free people, man. Democracy. You're not down with that? Yeah. Like air checks and democracy. This is a big week for you.
Yeah.
Could someone inform this guy, please?
The air check. We were supposed to. Did you get the note from Jeff McDonald? We have one today at 7:00.
An hour from now, we're doing the air check. Yeah, we're an hour away from an air check.
Hello, I can't hear anything.
That's what we're gonna hear during the air check. Zoom call. Hello, I
forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Well, when was that? Was that a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Dude, it wasn't my fault. Everything went dead on my end, and I just. Hello, I can't hear anything. And
anyway.
Hayes gave a head shake.
Well,
and
weren't we interviewing somebody, and he was talking? Yeah, it was Scotty Mitchell.
You're right. Was it Scott Mitchell? It was Scott Mitchell, because then Scotty made the joke about it.
Oh, yeah.
Got him on.
Yeah, he thought he was real funny. Hello, I can't hear anything.
That was a pretty good line by Scotty.
Very funny. Very funny.
All right, so Dave Pullen will join us here in a moment. The Jays are, like, the sports universe is all kind of coming together here, right? The Jays are at the Trop playing Tampa tonight. How many people flew down from Toronto yesterday or 2 days ago, went to the game last night, and then said, I'll stick around and watch Gosman pitch for the Jays? You know you can get tickets to the Trop for sure. They're probably giving them away outside that building. So Jays, Tampa, they hate playing down there. Historically, it has not been a fun park. And they're chasing Tampa in the standings. They've lost 3 series in a row. It's time to get going. It's time to start getting big hits. You know, everyone in baseball is talking about their numbers with runners in scoring position. It's time to turn that into a positive. They got to get cooking here. So we'll get to that later on. Back into this Phil Mickelson bombshell. He's pulled the chute on the PGA. He's not playing the PGA Championship next week, which I think is a shock. Like, I know he's disappeared from everyone, and he's got a lot going on in his personal life. This new book is coming out. It sounds like it's going to be scathing about what he's been up to, and he's made comments in the last few months that have really not gone over well, and understandably so. And he's connected to the Saudi League, which launches in a month, and we believe he'll be there. But he's the defending champ. It's the PGA Championship. He pulled the chute on the Masters, and now he's out on this. So that is a bombshell. But
I think, Hazy, there's a lot of things going on in his life that people have no idea about. Like, I think he's in a ditch, that he's got stuff going on, and he needs to.
If that's the case, then you pull the chute. Understandably so, right? You don't have to tell the world. The world doesn't deserve to know what's going on in your personal life.
No.
But that would be reasonable. If it's simply he doesn't want to face the media because he knows he's going to get grilled, to me that's soft, and I don't think that's smart PR. I think he should show up, get it over with, go out and play and leave, and then it's done.
The thing that I find crazy, though, is if he's got stuff going on in his personal life, why would he pile on top of himself and throw in the Saudi League stuff? Like, why wouldn't he just try to make the All-American comeback and be Phil Mickelson again on the PGA Tour? And I don't know if there's gambling stuff involved here, and he desperately needs this money from the Saudis. I really don't know. But I find it somewhat shocking where he wouldn't try for that All-American comeback and thumbs up on the greens and just be Phil again. but he just double dips and he doubles down, and it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. His advisors must be.
Oh my God, they must have all quit, Jamie.
Well, I mean, his level of stardom, you would think he would have financial advisors. You'd think he'd have a PR team potentially. You know, I don't think. I mean, he's his own brand, right? So he has to be surrounded by people that I'm sure help him in his life. But, you know, if he's in some financial trouble, like that's different. This guy's made a boatload of cash, but it sounds like he's burnt through a lot of it. Like, you know, that's a whole different other animal.
Well, that was crazy when he made those comments about, you know, the Saudis and about the PGA and Workday dropped him, and didn't Callaway step away from him? Like,
damn
massive,
right they did.
Yeah, like that's when you know you're in trouble. When there are companies that have been putting money in your pocket for 30 years, and you've been their poster boy, they're like, we need to get away from you.
Yeah,
that's when you know you're in trouble. So, yeah, that'll be a story next week. But if Tiger shows up and plays, which is what we expect, it'll be much like the Masters. So it'll be the Tiger Woods show.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got three game sevens tomorrow in the afternoon, in the evening, and then late night if you're on the East Coast. And here is our TSN hockey analyst, Dave Pullen, to break those down, including three games tonight. We could have three more game sevens. What a weekend that would be, Pullen. Yeah. Can you imagine a six-pack of game sevens this weekend?
I'm thinking we get two tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning towards two tonight. I'm thinking about this whole home ice thing. It's crazy because there was only four teams out of the 16 teams that haven't won on the other team's barn in the playoffs. Obviously, Boston, Carolina has been a home ice series. Nashville didn't have a chance of winning in Colorado, and the Rangers. And everybody else has won at least one game, and four teams have won two games on the road. And we make such a big deal about home ice. I don't know whether guys are better off getting away and saying, you know what, just focus on hockey and let's play here. But Colorado, LA, Edmonton, and St. Louis have all won two road games. And wow. So now you're going into it and you're thinking, boy, oh boy, I don't know tonight. I'd love to see a healthy Pittsburgh team, but the Rangers, I think, push it. And I think Washington can win at home tonight.
Pooley, what, you know, we just talked about game seven. You talk about home ice advantage. What would be your messaging to, let's bring it home to the Leafs or even Edmonton? You know, these are both, you know, these organizations kind of, for some reason, have been tied together. Star power, get out of the first round type of thing. What would be your messaging for either from management or coaching to these players heading into, you know, a big game like that tomorrow night on home ice?
Yeah, eliminate the distractions. I mean, you have to. And I think the guys are pretty good at doing that now. But eliminate every single thing that can potentially be a distraction at home. And I just think coming in, I've played home, you know, game sevens on the road and at home. And there's sort of a bonding playing a game seven on the road, you know, an us against the world type of thing. And it's crazy, but I think particularly, Jamie, with talking about Edmonton and Toronto, and, you know, when are the young stars going to break through? I mean, you look at guys that haven't come close to winning a cup yet, superstars like Nathan MacKinnon and McDavid and Draisaitl and Matthews and Marner, and when are they going to? And so I think my messaging is eliminate all the distractions, like really eliminate any type of distraction that can possibly be, whether it's your neighbor bugging you or, you know, don't stop for gas or whatever it may be. But I think the Leafs have a unique situation. This is the best Leafs team that we've seen, guys. It just is. In terms of makeup, it is. And in terms of sort of unflappable guys like David Kampf, you know, he doesn't get upset about too much. And you know, there's been quite a turnover. I mean, you think about it, Lyubushkin and Giordano and Kampf and Bunting and Kasha. You know, there's a handful of new guys in the lineup, and that should help in a situation like this. Because what does Gio care about it? And, Jamie, you know him well. What does he care about the history of the Leafs? He doesn't, you know, and the negative stuff that's gone on. He's just like, hey, boys, let's go. We got a great chance to win tonight.
Yeah, well, you'd have to believe so. Go ahead. Sorry, Al.
What about inside the locker room? Do you think everybody should just understand that all of their teammates should know the magnitude of the situation? Or do you think it'd be important to, like an Austin Matthews, to say a little something? Or I've never played in a game seven. It must be so, the nervousness. Like, what do you think should happen or could happen inside the locker room?
I think for the Leafs, it would be loose. I think that would be the key. And you know what? It may be Matthews doing something, maybe a little bit out of the ordinary for him. I'm not sure if it's a speech, but you know, his statement after the game I thought was pretty strong last night.
Yeah.
At a certain point, guys just get sick of it. Like, we're sick of it, and we can control it now. And nothing else matters. Where you're drafted doesn't matter. What your contract is doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. Salary cap tomorrow night doesn't matter. All that matters is winning one game. And it's a crazy thought to think you can change the perception of a lot of individuals and of an organization of where it's at right now with one win. And as crazy as that is, that's where the Leafs are right now. And, you know, and I wouldn't expect, like, if this team loses, you're going to see changes because of the cap situation. I mean, you're going to see changes, and it's not necessarily because this exact team can't win together. This exact team just can't stay together, and then that's going to be the problem. Lane McKayev's going to, you know, he'll be a tough one to keep around, and you know, Morgan Riley's getting the big bump, so that means somebody else might have to go. Campbell's making $1.6 million. That's not going to happen if he stays next year, and so there's all these factors that say this is the team that we have right now, and it's going to be different next year, but we can control what people think about this group with one win. Wouldn't you think you could muster up something different? Now, there's another team on the other side that's got something to say about that, guys, and that's your concern, right? And the luck of the draw has it that the other team is really good about figuring these types of things out.
Yeah, well, that's the truth about Tampa and their history. And last night, it's Braden Point. Of course, he finds a way to win it. They were showing the board all night, you know, how many OT winners are on that team. Corey Perry's got a million OT winners his career. And Point's got multiple. Kucherov's got multiple. And the Leafs are in a very different spot, you know. And yet it could come down to a guy like Kampf, like you mentioned, or an Engvall. Or Blackwell's not playing a ton of minutes, but I think he's been pretty effective. And I give him credit. I wasn't energy. Sure what he'd bring, but, yeah, he's bringing some energy. I think he's brought that. But ultimately, it's probably going to come down to, you know, the superstars on both sides, which has been the same storyline leading up to Game 7, you know, 1 through 6. And then there's the goaltenders. And Vasilevsky has proven in these moments before that he's more than capable of stealing a game if he has to. It never gets phrased that way, even though I believe he's 5-0 in Game 7s with 5 shutouts. So
yeah, that's in elimination games, in the last five elimination games, which is crazy.
Right.
But, you know, all these streaks and all these records and, you know, all these overtime goals that Corey Perry has and everybody else, they all started somewhere. And that's what the Leafs have to believe. I mean, they've got to start it somewhere. Hey, let's start our run right now. Let's start our run of seventh game victories or elimination game victories or whatever it is. When you see something that's built up like that, and Tampa went through a lot of pain, guys. They went through, you look back over, you know, those from 2010 to 20, and they had a lot of heartbreaks over those years. They just did. And now, because they're invincible, everybody assumes they've always been invincible, but they haven't been. And they figured it out. But they also had the ability to stay together and figure it out. And this group won't, simply because of cap considerations. You know, back to your seventh game, it's interesting because, you know, I played in 8 of them, and they're all different. But there's a suddenness to it. You know, you go into a game, and it's game 5, and one team is up 3-1. Well, one team can go home that night. But when you walk into the barn at night, and you know one team's not playing tomorrow, that's the difference. You know, you line up for that opening faceoff and you look across the guy and you say, one of us is not continuing to play hockey this year. That's the difference. That's the strangeness to it. Someone's going home.
Does that I mean, do you find, Pooley, that the players that you played with, when they have that mentality, do they embrace it? Did they? Was there anxiety? Was there fear? Like, you know, take us in the room as far as the emotions of these guys and what they're going to go through. Again, I mean, you know, Tavares and all of these guys with the Leafs that we've talked about, they've been there a couple times and they've come out on the wrong side. But what type of emotions will be coursing through their veins as they, you know, get onto the ice tomorrow night? And you know, how can you control that?
Well, they should be worried about being too revved up. And that's what you're almost hoping for. I'd rather temper them down a little bit than have to drum somebody up. But it's the individual personalities. Like, you know, I'm trying to count in my head, and I can't do the math this fast, but, you know, probably four or five of those game sevens, I'm going into the game with Rick Tocchet as a line mate or a teammate. Like, is that a guy you want in the game seven? Is that a guy you think, yeah, something's going to happen? Well, that guy's going to have my back. And we had a bunch of those guys. Brad McCrimmon, the ultimate guy to have in a game seven. You know, it's just about personalities and who embraces it. And how do you build that? You have to have the experience and build it. And so far, these guys are haunted because they haven't handled that well. And, you know, the Austin Matthews I'm watching right now, I want in a game seven, guys. He had another 9 hits last night. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a guy who's physically taking his game to a different level right before our eyes. Mm-hmm. And you know, the one thing I would say is you might have someone, and how effective would it be if a Mitch Marner grabbed a Willie Nylander? Like, how effective would that be? And said, look, Willie, we need you tonight. I'm going to be there. We need you. Puts pressure on himself, but I would love that messaging in that locker room. And because Nylander is so capable, guys, we know that, but I'm not sure what's going to happen tomorrow night. I'd like to think he's going to be great. But wouldn't it be interesting? And, you know, I did it. I did it with a couple different players on occasions where I just felt that we needed that player so bad. And that's the way I'd word it, right? It wouldn't be like, hey, you better show up. It'd be like, hey, do you know how good you are? And do you know the kind of impact you can have on the game tonight? You can be the difference in this game. That'd be my wording. And it would be done like in the stick room, or, you know, it wouldn't be a show of in front of anyone, or it wouldn't be, you know, a big production. I'd grab somebody quietly, you know, by the coffee machine. And I had no qualms about saying stuff like that, but that's because we grew together as a team. Mm-hmm. And we challenged each other.
Pooley, it comes down to the simple thing is, it comes down to everybody do what you got to do to have the best game of your life tomorrow. If that means you don't want to go to morning skate, if that means you want to wear no bucket, nobody cares. Whatever you have to do to play your best game, you go ahead and do it.
That's the message, Joe. That's the exact game seven message. That would you might go down there and give it to them tomorrow night.
It's good pep talk. Yeah, I like the idea of the guy, like the depth player, telling the superstar, we need you tonight, as if that's not understood.
Guys, we all know Chaser. He was not shy in the locker room to say, you know, don't be shy.
Oh, I
got to be good tonight.
Yeah,
he'd say it to anybody.
He knew that he was going to do what he did, and that's the point. You know, that's what Brian, I think you're saying is, you said it actually. Chaser knew what he was going to do. He wasn't going to score, but you better believe if there was anything going on, he was going to grab somebody, and he was absolutely going to do what he did best, like, you know, singers sing and the dancers dance. But you got to be there tomorrow night. You have to. It's such an opportunity for this team to take a step.
Yeah, it's a series in the making. It's a season in the making. It's an era in the making. It's 18 years in the making. I mean, you can go back to whichever line you want to, whichever date you want to, and say this is what it all comes down to. And that's the beauty of the sport, that it can be just a one-off. And it's not only in Toronto. The same thing will apply in Carolina tomorrow and Edmonton tomorrow. The fact of the matter is all three games will play out drastically different. Like, I'll bet you there'll be a blowout tomorrow. I don't know which game it'll be, but I wouldn't be surprised at all, and I don't know which team it will be. You know, it could be a home team, could be a road team, but I could see a blowout tomorrow, I could see an overtime game tomorrow, and then I could just see a good back and forth. Like, I could see three drastically different outcomes, and that's the amazing thing about a game seven, right, is that you would assume everyone shows up to play, and everyone has a great game, and everything's left on the ice, And from an energy standpoint, that can be the case.
Dude,
but
it's a huge
maybe you just
moment,
don't have
Hazy.
Your stuff.
It's a huge moment in the city.
Yeah.
If you go legend tonight, every kid in street hockey for the next 20 years will it's one of those things, if you do something awesome, I went Matthews game 7.
That's right.
I did. It's just an opportunity for legendary type stuff.
And there's always the unsung hero. Like when I think of Stefan Matteau, who I played with, I knew what he was as a player. Matteau scored that big goal for the Rangers. Like
how many times you see that goal, Jamie?
It's scored
every
from behind
time.
The net too. But yeah. that's the thing. Like that's the only scary part. And I said this the other day, so I've got to be consistent. About a game 7, you can have the game of your life, and if it's a tight game, you throw it towards the net, it hits a shin pad and goes in. That happened to Washington the other, was it 2 years ago? Didn't it go off?
Justin Williams.
Went off a shin pad in front, and that ended Washington trying to go back-to-back. Like, it happens, but that's, you know, there was, I thought Tampa early on in overtime last night were just trying to throw pucks across the front of the net. I don't know if you saw that. There was
a few
bad angle shots because you're like, I'll throw it to the net. It doesn't have to be a beautiful one. Last night wasn't a beautiful goal.
No,
it was
just
a
battle
save
in
and
front.
A bang, bang away, and it gets across. Barely got across the line. I think Bunting actually helped it by accident.
I think
But it happens. It doesn't have to be, you know, the most perfect play. That's the thing. Tomorrow night, they're... You know, you're expecting legends to go legend, but there are other guys that might write their own tale based on, you know, what they're able to do in one particular moment as well.
Absolutely.
Well, it's funny because you think about Matteau, and the minute you said it, and all I could think about was, why did Matteau have that chance in Game 7? Because Messier went Messier in Game 6.
Right.
And, you know, so your stars were doing what they did along the way. And, you know, it's been a pretty balanced attack for the Leafs through this. Like, you can't say, you know, blank has been terrible or blank hasn't shown up, because that's not the case. I mean, everybody, you know, could you get more from guys? Of course you can. But everybody's played pretty well. The defense has battled hard. Matt Labushkin, man, what a great pickup. What a great job of pro scouting. Because someone was going to Arizona to see him, guys. And someone was figuring out that there was a guy in Arizona who could battle in a really important game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a sneaky good pickup. So kudos to the pro scouts who nailed that, because, you know, you knew what Gio was going to bring. But I think when they made the Labushkin deal, none of us went, oh, well, they're settled now. That's great. You know, he's a tough guy and he plays hard. And so, but to a man, they've all played well, and you have to convince them that for a night they have more.
Yep, and that will be the messaging tomorrow, not only in Toronto, but in Tampa and Edmonton. And, you know, the L.A. Kings are going to say the same thing, Carolina, Boston, and we may have some additional Game 7s later this evening. Yep, on Sunday. We absolutely could see that being the case. It's going to be a fun weekend nonetheless, Pooley. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy your night. Enjoy the hockey.
Yep, we will. There's Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst. Another thing that has been a development that was an uncertainty 2 weeks ago was the play of Jake Muzzin. I think he's been settled in and
dude, he's been really good.
Played with confidence. Yeah, wow. I think the pairing of him and Brody, which we didn't see really all year, has really connected and played well.
Agreed, because I think what has happened is they gave him a lot of time to recover and almost start over his season. And, you know, when you don't notice him in a negative way, that means he's playing well. Like, just because he's a hard hitter. He had a couple good hits last night. One in the neutral zone stepped up. Like, there's been some pretty good hits, you know, in this series. Yeah. Like, physicality throughout the playoffs, which I don't mind that. That's guys stepping out of their comfort zone, trying to finish checks. But, yeah, it's I think he's been fantastic based
on role definition, too.
Yeah,
it's just simple. Go out there, battle, hit, get the puck out, outlet passes. You don't have to quarterback the second unit on the power play. You don't have to do any of that. Be a solid contributor. Get pucks at the net at the blue line. It's just like any industry, Brian. Role definition is key for people to have success.
That's right. Ooh. That's absolutely right. And the roles reversed when it comes to Dear Hazy B. And we're going to get to Dear Hazy B, and the sea shanty will be played later this hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
So then you asked yourselves, isn't there something more? to life.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, well, let me clue you in on something. There isn't.
She said looks aren't that important to her?
Dear Hazy B.
By God, I got a couple of words for you. You better get your act together. You can't always
get what you want. All right, here we go, boys. This is the segment we turn people's lives around. We want to help people. We've got a wealth of experience with these ridiculous scenarios, unfortunately. And we help people out. We get a message. We read it. We talk it out loud. And we talk them through what they're supposed to do. And Hazy B, your wealth of knowledge spearheads this operation.
Yeah, well, listen, this is truly an honor to be in this position. I don't take this lightly. Yeah. At all, and I look forward to this segment every week at 6:30 on a Friday. Let's enlighten the masses. Let's get after it here.
Dear Hazy B, girlfriend in, this is from my buddy Brent in Hermosa Beach. Hermosa Beach Brent is his Twitter account. Girlfriend and her four friends are in Vegas this weekend. Us guys, their husbands and boyfriends, have two options. Do we floor it here in Los Angeles? Or have a low-key weekend and use this as a rain check for when we really want to have a time or do something fun down the line.
Well,
they're buying day bids at the Cosmo at noon on Friday. Ooh. Could be a good bargaining chip for a massive time or boys' golf trip later on in the summer?
Yeah, this is very simple, Brent. This is where you kill two birds with one stone. You floor it in L.A. I mean, it's
yes.
Los Angeles. What are we talking about here? As great as Vegas is, L.A. can match in many ways.
I know, but Hazy B, before you continue with your advice, don't you get the feeling that when the girls go away and they find out it's a gong show with the fellas back in town, they almost say, oh,
no, that's the point. That's how you kill two birds with one stone. You floor it. But you don't admit that you had yourself a massive weekend? Are you nuts? Like, how?
I agree.
The ladies are in Vegas. Let them have a great time. They don't need to know what you're up to. As long as they come home to a house that's intact and you make sure that you're in good shape when she comes home, make sure the house is in good spot.
Yeah.
You don't have to say that you and the boys were watching the games and decided to hit the Sunset Strip on Saturday night.
So you basically claim that you're playing cards in the basement, but in the meantime, you're hanging off a chandelier at a pool.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to get that crazy necessarily, but I think it's a green light special, personally.
Oh, for sure.
I don't see why you can't do that. Noodles, you see it the same way.
I see it the same way. Say, you know what? Go to Vegas. Have a great time. Like I say, amazing time with the girls. We'll see you on Sunday, Monday when you get back. And then you go and enjoy yourself. You can downplay it. So, yeah, we had a couple of drinks, kind of low-key. It doesn't mean – they don't have to know that you were swinging from a chandelier at the Whiskey.
Right.
Or you're at – you know, you checked into the Sunset Marmot and got yourself a suite. And, like, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Furthermore, do you think you're getting –
yourself a suite.
You think you're getting every detail out of Vegas? Are you nuts? You think yeah. – Like, you're getting every detail of what the ladies are up to in Vegas? Of course you're not.
Oh.
No, they're at the Cosmopolitan.
Oh, you will exactly. never know all the details, my
no
main
one
man.
Knows
exactly. The
no
Cosmopolitan at noon, there are townhouses that you can rent, three-level townhouses with a rooftop hot tub that open right into the pool. I had my
experience?
Bachelor party there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know what's up. Yeah.
Like, that's, I mean, you're paying some money, but that hotel's a little bit worn for what you get, but it's still a hell of a hotel.
It's Vegas,
and that,
man.
Exactly.
And you go to Vegas, you're spending money. Like, it doesn't matter what you do.
All right, Noodles, you got to weigh in first on this one, because I got a feeling you know how to deal with a buddy who does this type of stuff. And then Hazy B, you come on the back end of this.
All right.
Dear Hazy B, going to the game 7 Saturday night with my brother for his B-Day. Both are diehard fans. My brother unfortunately loves to go Nick Cage, full Nick Cage at Leaf games. And this being the most important game in team history, do I allow him to drink or cut him off so he can remember the game?
Oof. I think you allow
like
him
to drink.
You're
talking pregame drinking, all the whole nine.
I think you just let him do his thing. The problem is if he, say it goes well for the Leafs, I think you taper him so that he has recollection. if it doesn't go well, you just pour it to him and be like,
"Hey,
you know
what?
How you
gonna taper an animal? Like, honestly,
you know what? Like, water down his drinks." Like, I got you, you know what I mean? Like a half drink
that's
here.
That's high school
like,
stuff. No, you can't be doing
What you do is you have the exact conversation that Dave Poulin had with his teammates going into a big game. He just told us this no more than 20 minutes ago in the stick room. For this particular case, it's probably a patio downtown tomorrow around 4:30. Say, listen, I need you tonight. I need you in the game, which means you cannot be Nick Cage or Bernie Lomax when we're into Scotiabank Arena. And you want to save something in the tank to possibly floor it like you've never floored it before after the game if the Leafs win.
Yes, right? Like that's the ticket.
You don't want to be in a situation where if the Leafs win tomorrow night, do you know how much fun it's going to be downtown? Like if you're in your 20s or if you're any age, you can have a blast. But if you're in party mode coming out of COVID and you're a huge Leaf fan and the Leafs win tomorrow – I have experienced this before when I was a teenager, when I was in my early 20s. That was in the late 90s and early 2000s. They would win. They actually won back then. And I can remember going out, and it was like, this is bedlam downtown. You do not want to be stuffed into an Uber by your brother at 11:15 and miss the best three-hour bar night of the year. Because that's what it's going to be on Saturday night. Yeah. So smarten up and save some in the tank.
But how do you shut them down on the patio? How do you shut? That's my question. Then is how do you shut them down in that patio?
I'll give you the answer. You don't show up at 4 o'clock. Plans have changed. Can't get there. We're going to go at 6 for a quick bite. Then we're going.
No. You are totally screwing this up. You tee it early in the morning, so he's got to shut it down in the afternoon.
Yeah, an afternoon shutdown is very compelling. Absolutely. What a day that would be. I'm assuming these guys don't have any kids or any significant others or anything, because if you're teeing it, napping, and then flooring it at the Leaf game afterwards.
Some of these guys, though.
My best weekend ever is tee it, TPC Sawgrass, Super Bowl in Jacksonville, Sawgrass again in the morning. Floored the whole time.
Yeah. Did you nap in between Sawgrass and the game?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Siesta?
No, it was just golf your rear end off, go to the Super Bowl, go home, sleep, golf again. Anyway, we got some new material.
All right.
Dear Hazy B, last year my girlfriend was out of town for games 1-5 against Montreal. She came back and they lost 3 straight. This year, watching games with her, I'm 1-2, 2-1 without. Should I kick her to the curb for tomorrow or let the chicken parms fall where they may?
Wow, what
this
a question,
is a
man.
Spicy meatball for old Jeremy Molnar.
Yeah, this is quite the existential question, man. You have to ask yourself, you've got to weigh two things here, two loves of your life, the Leafs and your girlfriend, right? Like, ideally, they can mesh together, and what you do is you watch, you enjoy, and you celebrate, right? I would lean towards that, but honestly, this is a scenario where you have to bring it up and reference it to her and sell her on the idea of superstition and hope she takes the bull by the horn and goes, I'm going somewhere else to watch the game, because that's working out that way.
No way.
If not, if you have a future with this woman, you can't kick her to the curb for a game.
Hazy, you are missing the most obvious thing right here. Your brain doesn't function properly. You know why?
Why is that?
Fake email from a colleague. You were in close contact with someone with COVID. You've got to isolate for 4 or 5 days. It's very simple.
From a significant other? If they live together, that doesn't work.
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with
what you're talking about.
You haven't got anything better than that.
Dude, that was absurd. That was a ridiculous suggestion. A fake email.
Hey, this Mr. X just sent this. I'm a close contact.
Can you guys come up? We want this guy to win. We got to do everything we can. You guys haven't come up with squat.
But that's what I'm saying. Your superstition. He believes that he's the answer. Like, that's the thing. You got to get rid of the superstition, double down on whatever you want to do tomorrow night, because it obviously hasn't worked. It didn't work last year. Like, find something, to me, find a different routine, because tomorrow night, if they win, that's the routine you're looking at. That's the thing. Like, you're 2-1 and 1-2. It's not like your record is 16-0.
Yeah, you're not the 72 Dolphins one way or the other.
I think it's too close to call. Do what you want to do and create your own tradition.
There you go.
And hope that they win.
Yeah, I like that. I'll take that advice. Dear Hazy B, around the horn. We love it. Okay, what else do we have?
This one is Beyond Greasy from Naughty Tim with a mustache in his profile pic. Dear Hazy B, a guy at my club always pulls a sleight of hand and moves his putt 6 inches toward the hole while marking his ball. He's a friend of a friend, and I don't know that well. We play small money games. Call him out or let it slide. This is an old school term. He's a bit of a spaz attack.
Yeah, spaz attack. I haven't heard in quite some time.
Only a guy with a mustache would say spaz attack.
Yeah, I think if you're playing for money, then it's a mandatory call out if it's something that happens all the time.
It's out permanently.
Yeah, it has to happen. I mean, there are times where you put your ball marker down like 6 inches. That's pretty significant. Like I don't know how you would
that's
even
Patrick
do
Reed.
That. Yeah, that's Patrick Reed.
Dude, it's a greasy little move. People do it all the time. They put their coin down, and every time, if they keep marking it, it would go in the hole on its own.
I know. It's a must call out. It should be a call out probably anyway, but if you're talking money, like if you're playing with, I don't care if you're playing for a dollar or you're playing for a grand, it's cheating is what it is, and it's a pretty significant advantage to your point. If it's 6 inches on every single green, that's huge.
It's a
mandatory call out. Very simple. Mandatory call out. And if he spazzes out, well, then you're going to have to deal with the repercussions. Or just cut him out of the group.
Yeah.
Friend
I think
of a
that's
friend. Just tell him you're done. You're not in the rotation anymore.
We got possibly, what do we got? One or two more here?
Yeah, we got time for probably one more.
Dear Hazy B, my buddy hates grocery shopping. At the store, he'll scope out nearly full carts and snatch one if left unattended. His weekly meals are a complete surprise. Says it's not stealing because the groceries haven't been paid for yet. Brilliant or totally offside?
Well, he's not
Dude,
wrong.
I don't even explain what this cat does. Somebody loads up a grocery cart and he just suckers them and takes their cart
and pays for
everything?
I've been weary of this before. I think anyone that shops and has done like a big shop, because you know when you have, let's
this
say you have a cart.
This is borderline insane.
You have a cart that's full, and then you realize you're like, oh, I got to go get some cereal, you know, and it's around the corner. And you're not going to twirl the cart around like Austin Powers. You just leave it, and you go for a walk to go get the cereal. And as a result, you're leaving a cart that's unattended. So technically, someone could grab it. It is not stealing because it hasn't been paid for. You don't have ownership over it because you put it in your cart. You haven't paid for anything yet. So it is not stealing. But the idea of someone who is a lunatic that would do this and then have no idea what they purchased, like, is a shock and is something I think should be illegal and should lead to this person being jailed.
I've heard of,
at
like,
a minimum 6 months.
I've heard of people taking one item out of somebody else's cart. Like, you're like, oh, that looks good. You know, I didn't know they had Mr. Noodle.
You can't go get that yourself.
The guy turns around and, like, you grab it or whatever. I've heard of that.
Right.
This is outrageous. This is outrageous. Like, plus, if he's ringing it through and you come back, he'd be like, that's my card. I've put this all together. Like, is there an altercation?
I would assume so. Like, how rattled would you be if you went through the whole thing? You're in there for a half an hour. You know, you've got your kids that want, you know, a certain amount of pears, and then bagging things, and some idiot comes and takes your cart. You'd snap.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we got one quick one here. Dear Hazy B, my wife's friend has 100+ photos of me blackout drunk on her Facebook page. Yeah. These pics were posted 15+ years ago, and I'm tarp off in a lot of them. My wife thinks I'm overreacting. Yeah, right. If it was her, she'd go just absolutely crazy on you. But I'm 39 years old now with 3 kids and a career. Do I have the green light to ask her to take them down?
Yes, you absolutely do. You absolutely do. Because I'm assuming you probably were tagged in them 15 years ago and you probably didn't think twice about it.
Just a disaster, too.
Everyone's been in that spot with Facebook where you get tagged and you're like, why tag me in that pic? Look at me in that pic. You know, it's like, why would you do that? You know?
Dude, do you not think relationships have ended over pics being posted that the other person didn't want? I guarantee it's happened.
Sure. Maybe, yeah. That seems extreme. I mean, you would think you'd be able to have a conversation. Imagine Facebook mattering that much.
No, but you know how petty people can get with, I didn't like the way I looked in that pic you posting it. I
That's
bet you massive
exist.
Fight.
Filters exist specifically for that, so you can create your own look, basically. But yeah, no, you 100% have the right. Like, listen, that's my wheelhouse. 38, 39, we're kids, and, you know, you don't need that all over Facebook. You don't need people being able to – I think you should be able to control that for sure, to an extent, at least extend the – you know, have the conversation. If she refuses to do it, I'm not sure how you handle it. What else are you going to do? You can't call the cops.
No, but I mean, I don't know.
It's greasy. You know, and at the time, it doesn't mean it was a bad thing at the time, right? Like, 15 years ago, everyone's partying. You're in your 20s and stuff weekend at the cottage and everyone's gooned or whatever. Okay, fine. But then eventually you grow up. This was always going to happen with Facebook. It was always going to happen. The first generation of Facebook was going to snap out of it and say, wait a minute, can all these pictures disappear? Like, I don't need the picture of me getting dragged out of a bar 15 years ago still existing online.
Or if you're like an established person or whatever career-wise and you just got a beer and a heater going at a campfire, it just doesn't need to be anywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another angle as well.
Honestly, sure. I can't remember the last time I've been on Facebook either. Like, that's the other thing too. Well, you probably
out there, Noodles.
You gotta get it.
Facebook is
he should
else.
Absolutely tell her to take it down.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a
just go ahead, especially if your kids are getting older and stuff and you don't, you know, you're not.
Yeah, I'd be mindful.
Did you hear the
of
story
it?
About, because, you know, I was just down at Disney like a couple months ago, where if you get the Disney app, it's like a genie pass or whatever, you get access to all these different pictures that they take. Okay. Like, you don't even know when they're taking your picture. You're just on a ride, and it syncs up with your app.
Yeah.
And I guess some guy got caught because he was down there with his family, his wife and his kids, and he brought the nanny down. And his nanny were sneaking in rides on, like, Space Mountain. Yeah, I guess it was getting a little bit touchy-feely, and the pictures came in via the app.
That's tough.
Not the best.
Not the best, and his
Not
wife
the best.
Sniffed it out. Anyway, we'll come back with the sea shanty, looking ahead to Game 7s tomorrow, including here in Toronto.
Wow. Forward me continues. That story.
I will.
That guy's a slimy bastard.
The happiest place on earth. Not for that guy. Not for that guy. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. So it is go time tonight for the Jays and the Rays. It is go time tonight. Three games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, you know, yesterday, Noodles, you called it one handshake line. We saw that St. Louis. They laid a beating on Minnesota, too. It wasn't even close. And
watch out for those boys.
Yeah, St. Louis is chugging right. They're under the radar too. Craig Berube goalies going back and forth. A good quality team, man. Good team.
They got Colorado. I mean, that's not going to be a cakewalk either way. Like, Colorado's not going to skunk them for nothing. Like, that's going to be a hard fought series.
Yeah, St. Louis will get at least a couple. I think I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night, you know, it's another opportunity for the Leafs and for the Oilers. Obviously, Carolina and Boston are playing a Game 7 as well. Boston's got cups recently and a lot of history of winning games. Carolina's been to conference finals. LA's got cups in the bank. Tampa's got cups in the bank. Like, it's Edmonton and Toronto that are the outliers in the Game 7 games tomorrow, you know, in recent history, where you've got a team in Toronto that has been knocking on the door for 6 years now and losing again last night. This era, the Matthews-Marner era, they are 0-8 in elimination games. 0-8. But they have a chance to go 1-8 tomorrow night. And if they do that, the previous 8 losses will be forgotten pretty quickly. But if they don't, then we will be doing a show on Monday that I think a lot of people are familiar with. It's a show we've done many times before.
I don't want that show ever again, buddy. I know who knows how long we do this show, but I'm done with that show. And I'll shave my head bald, and I'll put iron covers on.
Yeah, that's what's on the line for you and the Leafs tomorrow, and everyone for that matter. So we got that. Now in Edmonton, it's the same story, you know. So you got Darnell Nurse coming back. You got Mike Smith. You've got obviously McDavid. You got a Drysdale injury that very well could be significant for tomorrow. But they won last night, and that's all they needed. And now they head back home. And you know, personally, selfishly, as a Canadian, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Edmonton and Toronto, and then I'd love to see Calgary win tonight. I'd love to see the Battle of Alberta and at least play whoever it's going to be, Florida or Washington. But we'll find out tomorrow night.
Exactly.
All right, the sea shanty. It's time. I think we need to start playing it. And there it is, Al's brother. We held a vote.
There
people wanted to hear it.
4 p.m.
We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the weekends. We're back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
The Maple Leafs and the drought and win the cup. 55 long years the fan base has suffered. Matthews, Marner, Willie and Jack, Johnny, Toronto, Keith and Riley. They will lead us to the promised land and end the decades-long curse. This year the Maple Leafs will end the drought and win the cup. The journey starts tonight and will end in a party.